We'd like to welcome everyone back to our service this evening. For my assignment, I had the word righteousness. The text actually comes from Romans 3 and verse 22. And for a introduction, I'm going to read beginning in verse 19 through 26. There the Bible says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." We keep saying that these studies have been pretty difficult. What I noticed in the reading is that it listed numerous of those words that we have studied this this month. Redemption, justification, righteousness, propitiation, and some of those other things. It's kind of like Brother Brian said, it's like, take these words and see if you can use them all in a sentence. And that's kind of what we see in this particular reading. As far as the definition of the word righteousness, Thompson's Chain Reference definition says purity of heart and rectitude or correctness of life. Strong's definition says, in a broad sense, state of him who as he ought to be, righteousness, the condition acceptable to God. Also, the doctrine concerning the way which men may attain a state approved by God. Integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. In a narrow sense, Strong says it's justice or virtue which gives each his due. In Thayer's definition, it says to render righteous are such he ought to be. To show, to exhibit, events one to be righteous, such as he is and wishes himself to be considered. To declare, to pronounce one to be just, righteous, or such as he ought to be. In studying these words, when we look at each one of these different words for this month, we find that some of the words are actually used as definitions of some of the words we've actually studied. And we're going to see that as we talk about this particular word this evening. Before we continue, let us go to our Heavenly Father. You know, one of the things that I've realized in studying these different words is that we realize as an individual the weight of our own condemnation and our own unfaithfulness in this. There's no one that is righteous. All have turned away. But this problem of our unfaithfulness has not caused God to be unfaithful to his promises. And I think that's the key to each of the words that we study. God will remain faithful to his word even if every person is a liar. Our sinfulness reveals God's goodness, loving kindness, and his mercy. It does not allow us to sin because God is faithful Instead, we are to love God because of His devotion and His love toward us. The devotion and faithfulness of God is completely undeserved by us because we have broken God's covenant. All have sinned and come short of His glory. In a sermon that I read, and let me just tell you, I read a lot of different references, Bible dictionaries. I looked at some of the references, the commentaries, and things like that. And Brother Paul pointed out this morning, there's some unbelievable doctrines out there concerning these different words. This word justification and sanctification, this word righteousness, there's some doctrines out there that are unbelievable. And so after I read all that, become completely confused, I just went back to the Bible and decided I was just going to stick with that as close as I could. But I did find a sermon by Brother Johnny Elmore, and I think Brian made a reference to this sermon early on when maybe he was speaking on the word justification. Concerning the meaning of righteousness, he says the Hebrew word for righteousness is found in different forms hundreds of times in the Old Testament. I thought that was pretty amazing. In different forms, this word is found hundreds of times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the word is found some 92 times. And he says one of the simplest definitions of the word is found in 1 John 3 and verse 7. There it says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." I thought that was pretty simple. That's something that we can understand because it's addressed to little children. And let me just say this concerning little children. If we stop and think of God's person, God's being, Him being the Creator, we're all little children as far as when we try to live up to the standards that God has set aside for us. God is the ultimate standard for righteousness. And I believe that's what this verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 22 points out. It says, even the righteousness of God. So it's talking about God's righteousness in the text that we read just a few minutes ago. In Psalms 11 in verse 7, there it says, "For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright." Abraham asked the question in Genesis 18 in verse 25, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Jesus is righteous because He is perfect. He is called by inspiration in 1 John 2 and verse 1. There it says, "Jesus Christ the righteous." He is described by Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8 as the righteous judge. And while on earth, friend and foe pronounced Him righteous and just. Men are said to be righteous only in an accommodating sense. When we look at Romans 3, verse 10 through verse 18, there it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Since no humans are righteous by their own efforts, they must be justified or declared righteous. The verb to justify and the noun righteous are from the same original word that their meanings correspond. In Luke 7 and verse 29, it says there, "And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John." We ask the question, how did they justify God? They justified him when they declared him to be righteous and just. God is also said to justify the ungodly in Romans 4 and verse 5. "But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." On Romans 4 and verse 5, Thayer says, "Especially is it so used, the technical phraseology of Paul, respecting God who judges and declares men as put faith in Christ to be righteous and acceptable to him, and accordingly fit to receive the pardon of their sins and eternal life." Righteousness means justification or forgiveness. It is obtained through pardon. It is a state of justification. The Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness. They didn't submit to it, but formulated their own righteousness. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10, verse 1 through verse 3. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." In another passage, we all know very well, the Apostle Paul said, "And after Brother Royce's lesson last Sunday evening, the verses have much, much greater meaning." There in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The righteousness of God in these passages is not an attribute of God or a reference to God's character. The Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness, but they were not ignorant of the fact that God is righteous. The gospel reveals how God makes men righteous, or how God forgives sinners. The Old Testament did not reveal it. In Galatians 3 and verse 21, Paul said, "Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law." I want you to notice in this verse these two words, "given." The law of Moses was given. It was a given law. But this given law of God could not give righteousness. The only way a person could be righteous under the law would have been to keep it perfectly without sinning even once. But the law revealed that no one was able to do that. So God had to declare men righteous. I have an illustration I read, and I thought it was pretty clear. It said there were only two ways that clothing can be clean: to have never been soiled, or having been soiled, to be washed. In the same way, there are only two ways that a man can be declared righteous. That is, to have never sinned or to be forgiven. The gospel reveals that the way of justification, and Paul said, for therein, speaking of the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The Greek word for to means in order to. So in other words, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith in order to faith. So, from the faith of the gospel to the faith of the individual, we receive forgiveness. From our text, Romans 3 and verse 22, again, it says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. In Vine's dictionary, it says this righteousness is unattainable by obedience to any law, or by any merit of man's own, or any other condition other than that of faith in Jesus Christ. The man who trusts in Christ becomes the righteousness of God in him. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, there it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The man in Christ becomes all that God requires of a man to be, all that he could never be himself. Because Abraham accepted the word of God, making it his own, by the act of the mind and the spirit, which is called faith, and submitting himself to its control, therefore God accepted him as one who fulfilled the whole law and all of its requirements. In Romans 4, verse 3, there it says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for his righteousness. God demonstrates his own righteousness through the sacrifice of Jesus, not only to those who have sinned in the past, but also for us in this present time. Through the blood of Jesus, God can remain righteous and just. That is, right and not executing wrath immediately, but being faithful to the promise that was made to Abraham, while at the same time declare us righteous. We ask the question, how can God declare us righteous and acquitted when we are unrighteous and guilty? The answer is through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's through his sacrifice that God can declare us righteous, because Jesus paid the price for sins, or redemption, to set us free. The people who are declared righteous through the blood of Jesus are those who have faith in Jesus. In closing, in summary, God has shown himself to be right to bear with our sins. Rather than executing wrath, God has been faithful and merciful because Jesus is payment for our sins. God's righteousness, the way he fulfilled his promises, and the way he keeps his word to deliver his people from sins, is revealed in our faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone who has faith in Jesus will be declared righteous, meaning acquitted in the law of court of God. God can make that judgment of acquitted because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus is the ransom price to free us from sins we have committed. Jesus is the place where atonement is made. You know, I looked at each one of these words, and for the study this month, I had the word reconciled and also this word righteousness. Brother Brian had justification. I think Brother Dwayne had propitiation. I think he also had deliverance, I'm not sure. And Brother Paul had sanctification. And I look at these words and I get to thinking, you know, Brother Brian could probably say that that justification, that's the key word of these that we have studied. And I'd have to argue with him and say, no, I think probably reconciled or righteousness is that key word, maybe. And I'm pretty sure Brother Paul feels that maybe that sanctification, that's probably the key word. But I got to tell you, after hearing Brother Royce's sermon on this Romans 1 and verse 16, the key word is the gospel, the good news. It involves all of these words that we have studied. And as I think about that, and I think about the righteousness of God and being accounted righteous because of faith in Jesus Christ, and still remember, there is absolutely nothing that we do to deserve God's forgiveness of sins. If there's anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come while we stand in sin.